deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 34 of Flashpoint. It's an all-Aussie edition this episode, not through choice. Unfortunately, Ed is going to be offline for a couple of episodes and just want to say a big shout out and hi to Ed and looking forward to having him back, if not next fortnight, possibly the one after. So he's definitely not gone and he's definitely not going to be forgotten, but yeah, he's just got some stuff on at the moment, so he'll be back like Arnold Schwarzenegger, just better looking. Actually, that's a big call. But two very good-looking young men that are with me, and I think I tell you guys you're good-looking every week, so it's starting to get a bit creepy. First, Simon, how are you?
I'm good, and the restraining order will be in the mail with you shortly.
Yes. Oh, I feel a bit awkward now. Awkward silence. And see, we haven't even met. We're about to catch up at Comic-Con. It could get really awkward. And it's a great pleasure to have back a man who has just got off the plane from the UK after being a central figure in the organisation of the Queen's Jubilee celebrations, particularly the Queen's Jubilee concert, where he was Cliff Richard's guitar technician, and Cliff Richard doesn't even play guitar. It's Mark. Welcome back.
Thank you, guys. I'm just thinking on the intro there that it's an all-Aussie podcast. Well, let's face it, they don't come more Aussie than me, do they?
That's right. You're an Aussie.
That's right.
So, yeah, welcome back, Mark. Great to have you back. I think it's only been, what, two or three episodes we haven't had you, but it's great to have you back.
Yep, thank you.
So there's, as always, lots to talk about, so let's jump straight into the news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
So since last fortnight, probably the biggest presence BioWare have had in regards to Star Wars The Old Republic has been at the E3 Games Expo Conference mega event in the US, and they were there with bells on, and they unveiled some new content. So this is stuff without a set time frame, and we'll be talking about 1.3 in a little while. This is stuff that you're saying, look, coming up over the next year, here's some cool new stuff we've got. So and you can break it down into, they showed off a new space mission called Space Station Assault, a new operation called Terra from Beyond, a new companion, HK-51 Assassin Droid, a new level cap, and they didn't actually say, unless I missed it, on another announcement, they didn't say what the level cap would move beyond, God, I was about to say level 60, level 50. So yeah. Maybe level 60 will be the new cap, who knows?
51.
There's something to aim for. And a new war zone, ancient hyper gates, and then as I said in the post on the site, probably the most exciting is a whole new world to explore. And one of you can correct me. I just think of it as Markeb, but maybe it's pronounced something different. So any lore nerds out there can flame me later on.
So Markeb.
Markeb, yeah.
Markeb.
I'd never heard of it, but then I haven't heard of half the stuff in Star Wars, so that's.
No, it's a new one of me. I don't recognise the name.
Yeah, so I'll start with you, Simon. Out of all that, is it exciting stuff or is it the sign of a company madly putting out the perception that it's got lots to come?
I'll choose column B. That was definitely the impression I got. It really just seems like they're running to catch up at this point. I think that's really what it comes down to. There was nothing there. I'm not going to say more of the same because obviously we want to have a look at it in more detail first, but there is that sense that there's nothing particularly new or groundbreaking about any of this. It's just, they're just filling things out. That's, and I don't know that there's pretty much more if I can say about it, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, before I get on to Mark, I agree that there's nothing groundbreaking in it, I suppose, and I agree that it's them saying, hey, we've still got all this stuff to come, but also I'd hope with any MMO they do have a roadmap of, you know, new planets or areas, and I suppose it's their way of saying, hey, we're still definitely on that roadmap, but I know some people said it seems a little bit early, although then you have just as many people say it's a little bit late. Mark, what's your take?
I wouldn't say it's too early. I mean, I haven't been playing the game as much as I used to. And it's because, me personally, I've kind of run out of stuff to do. I think a lot of people in the game are kind of feeling the same way. So, like, any new content is definitely going to help. It's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, look, there's definitely that cohort of people going, oh, thank God, there's stuff on the horizon. Although this stuff's on the further horizon in that it's certainly not coming 1.3, and some of it may come with 1.4, I'm guessing. But beyond that, we don't know.
Yeah, so, it's the level cap that I find the most interesting thing there, not because bumping up the level's going to be that significant, but I think it's more the timing of it. When will it hit? The fact that they've announced it after we've really only just hit the 6-month mark, and they're already talking about bumping up the level cap. I find that interesting, should we say.
Yeah, that was a bit that struck me as being early.
I think they're going to have to do it, though, because, I mean, the one thing I really liked about the game was the whole storytelling aspect. And then when you get to your level 50 and you finish your class quest, your story's over. So if they're going to take out these things rather regularly and it continues your story, that's the one thing I do hope it does.
And there's the magic word.
Yeah. If. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, to continue the story and keep people interested that way, they're going to have to take out content fairly regularly.
Yeah. If there's more story coming with the level cap bump, then we'll get a lot more enthusiastic about it. But
I certainly hope so.
If they're just bumping it and there's just something that's tissue thin just to lead you from zone to zone, then, yeah, I think it's really just going to be a matter of watching and seeing exactly where this ends up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably where I'm being a bit of Pollyanna. I'd assumed with the level cap, and it was the reason I was so excited about it, was that, yeah, it was going to be a significant story-driven, you know, 5 or 10 levels or whatever it is, as the original 50. So you raise a good point. If it's not, well, there's going to be some outcries about that.
For sure, yeah.
So, yeah, new content. I mean, the actual promo they showed is short, and it shows some very brief parts of each, but not surprisingly, no great detail. And I'm sure that'll be drip-fed out over the coming months. Yeah. Speaking of being drip fed or pulled off the drip, I know last fortnight we talked about Stephen Reed departing from BioWare as the senior community coordinator, and I said at the time I assumed David Bass would step up to his role, but didn't know what I was talking about there. David Bass has actually joined Stephen Reed in leaving BioWare, and there's been no really official stuff on beyond wishing him luck. So, you know, some people say that he left of his own accord. Who knows? And not really interesting going into it. The only significant thing for most of us is that he was the liaison with websites devoted to covering Star Wars The Old Republic. So he's no longer there. And so Eric Musco is taking over that role. I've had a couple of emails with Eric. He seems very keen to, work with sites and give us as much information as he can. And I think from memory, Eric came from a fan site originally and was headhunted by BioWare. And off the top, mate, I can't remember which one. I don't think it was Darth Vader. I think it was one of the other ones. Anyway, so Eric, we'll get Eric on at some stage on the podcast when I get round to asking him. I'm sure he'll be up for it. And so just the staff, the community team also put out a big post detailing how they're all going to divvy up different responsibilities, and it seems like at this early stage they're very much looking at improving communication further, and that could only be a good thing.
Absolutely.
Mark, any thoughts on, you know, communication to date and where it could improve?
I mean, you know, most of the communication that we've had with BioWare has gone through you, and there's a couple of times where you've sort of said you wish they were a bit more forthcoming, so hopefully that's the way they're going to go.
Yes, won't disagree with you there. What about you, Simon? Or have you been headhunted already?
No, not this decade. I haven't. No.
Okay.
I think potentially there's a good sign. I still can't help wondering what's exactly going on behind the scenes, and the fact that they're not really saying anything to anybody about anything. Your mind just can't help but run wild. But I'm choosing to see it as a good sign. It could be a case that David's just a bit burnt out by the whole launch thing. It's a pretty intense process. I don't know how Stephen managed to carry on as long as he did. But I'd like to think that Eric will be able to help rein in some of the statements being made by some of the other senior staff. The one that particularly rankled me and still rankles is poor old Daniel Erickson going on and saying, no, there hasn't been a sub drop. And he basically said that quite clearly and unequivocally. And then a week or so later, there's a sub drop. So I'd like to see some consistency, some frankness. And if they don't know, then maybe Eric can help them not say anything, which might be preferable.
Agreed again. I don't think it'll be Eric so much, and probably just to emphasize, Eric will be the fan site liaison. The guy that's taken over from Stephen Reed is, and I feel really bad because I've even seen him write how his name should be pronounced. It's either Hoveth or Joveth or Joveth Gonzalez. He's sort of the new Stephen Reed, and you're right, he should be the one that's coordinating and making sure that what's said by developers reflects what Bioware's saying, but hopefully on the side of transparency. So it just doesn't become one big PR. You know, there's lots of exciting stuff coming soon. Watch this space.
Hopefully, because, there's a coming soon and watch this space. I think we've all seen quite enough of that. But I don't think there's much of a difference between PR and politics. And some of the statements BioWare have made in recent weeks have been far closer to politics than it has actual information. So hopefully things will improve.
Yes, agreed. So that's that. The big topic we might as well jump on to. Actually, before we do 1.3, I'll talk about character transfers. So for about half to two-thirds of our listeners being from the Oceanic area, this is probably not as exciting as stuff, but we do have a lot of listeners from overseas, and certainly about half of our website traffic comes from outside of Australia and New Zealand. I sort of had a look into the other day, and that's the character. So the character transfers have been something that a lot of the player base have been screaming for, that and server mergers. Now, BioWare have obviously come out and said they're not doing server mergers as such. They're going to have mega servers and they're looking into that. But in the meantime, character transfers are going live. Is it 12th of June? I'm so prepared. Yes, here we go. They announced characters. So the key aspects of that, anyway, it's coming in the next week or so, they're saying, and it's probably not what some people expected, as far as it's not, if you've played WoW, what's essentially a free-for-all there where you can choose a server and your character, you pay a fee and your character is rolled over onto it unless the server is full. And I've done a few server transfers on WoW. I've never had the issue of not being able to go where I wanted to go. This one, it's not going to be a free-for-all transfer service, so that only specific servers will be able to be transferred to, and I'm assuming they'll be the lower population ones. There will be a queue for transfers, so obviously there will be a lot of people wanting to do it in the short term, and they can only do so many a day, which is obvious. But also, they're putting a lot of disclaimers around this. I'd say it's still a highly manual process, if I was going to guess. A lot of, you know, manual data transfers and stuff like that to get it to work. And then there are some things affected from a legacy and guild viewpoint, and there's a post on the site and I'll link to it in the show notes, but to give you the briefer stuff, your legacy will be transferred to your new server and your unlocks will be available too. If you've already unlocked your legacy on the destination server, the higher level legacy will take precedence, so that's what you'd expect. For guild members and masters, you will not be able to transfer your guild as a whole to your new server. Instead, you will need to reform it. If you have a guild bank, it will be re-granted to your new guild on your destination server. So it's not an automatic process and you'll have to contact customer service directly. And then as far as character name conflicts, if it exists with conflicts with an existing name on the destination server, you'll be asked to rename your character In the case of legacy names, unless you have unlocked your legacy on your destination server, you will need to rename your legacy upon transfer, although you may pick the same legacy name as on your origin server if available. So there's no huge surprises there, but Mark, any thoughts on it?
Yeah, look, I certainly transferred a lot of characters when we were able to off the Harbinger. That server was absolutely jam-packed, and I laugh when I look at it now. Every time I see it, it says population light. So there must have been a mass exodus of Aussies came off that server. But when I did it, everything went really smoothly. Everyone went across, and I've got all my tunes moved now, so I'm a happy chappy.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, we were the guinea pigs for the Oceanic transfers. It worked relatively smoothly. Some people waited longer than they thought they should have, and there were certainly some glitches.
Yeah.
But overall, they've obviously learnt from that, and this looks like this should go well, although on a much bigger scale, so I expect there'll be some glitches as well. Simon?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a few more details in this, because I think depending on where they're steering people, I think it could potentially give us a clue as to what the, let's call it the super server concept, or the fewer larger servers are going to, how they're going to take shape. It's going to be quite an educational process, I think. But as you say, pretty certain it's got to still be very, very manual.
Yeah, I think manual. And at this stage, free, which is a good thing. And I think once they nail this down and feel like they've got all the servers, you know, with populations roughly how they want them, I'd say they'll instigate a more longer-term paid service would be my guess. Or maybe they won't. If they're wanting to attract subscribers, they may not charge for it.
Microtransactions.
Yeah, there's also that too. Oh, and that's actually, sorry, we'll talk about one point. It's sort of within 1.3 in that they're making the game free to play for levels 1 to 15, or free trial. It's not really free to play. So there you go, character transfers. Look, I've talked about 1.3 four times and haven't started talking about it, so let's do it now. The 1.3 hit the public test server, it's around a week ago now. And if you haven't seen the patch notes, again, I'll link to them. They're huge. There's a lot of changes. There's probably as long a list as there was with 1.2, or if not close to it. So each of us have just picked a couple of things one or two things that have interested us from the public test server. I haven't bothered to download the 11 gigabyte to actually play it yet, and I'm assuming neither you guys have.
No.
No.
The patch I have, but I can't play it. But I'm getting used to glitches in SWTOR, quite frankly, so I'm just going to wait and it'll...
Is that because, you're having trouble accessing the PTS, or is it just not playable?
It doesn't come up. I've go on to click the button for the PTS, select the server, and just end up in the server selection screen, and there's nothing there.
Mm.
Not a sausage. So, yeah, so I just sort of went, you know, looked at it and thought, yeah, that feels fairly consistent, and then went back to doing something that I can't really talk about on this podcast because it involves another game.
That's right. As long as it doesn't involve bestiality, I don't care.
No, I live in a flat. There's no room for a dog.
And even that, bestiality, if it's consensual, but we won't talk about Dutch bestiality laws.
Yeah, let's not.
We don't want to go down that road again.
Yeah, no. Have we talked? No, we haven't seriously talked about it.
We haven't, no.
I've talked about it in another forum. They've just recently repealed bestiality laws where it essentially was legal if it was consensual.
How would you know if it was consensual?
Well, I think that was the issue. And I apologise to any Dutch friends listening, and if I've got that wrong, please let us know. But I'm 99.9% sure that they recently repealed and it's now no longer legal, and there was a whole bestiality porn industry that was wondering what it was going to do.
How would that work? Come on, Dobbin. Yeah. One, yes. Two clops for no. What's your dinner, you bastard?
Yeah. I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, have some problems with how that might work.
Well, I think the Dutch finally realised as well. Well, the Dutch government, sorry. Because I'm sure only 0.0001% of Dutch people are even interested.
Yes, questionable functionality, a little bit like the PTS steering us back on topic.
That's right. So with 1.3, starting with you, Simon, while you're talking, what was something that stood out from you from the patch notes that you quite liked?
Well, obviously, I think the group finder is obviously going to be a big plus for everybody, despite the issues that we've discussed about at some length. Also very interested to see how the augment slot improvements improve with having a use for the modification tables again. What I do not like is they're effectively nerfing, as far as I'm concerned, the PowerTech Bounty Hunter with adding 100% additional threat while Ion Gas Cylinder, which I always use, is active. So feeling a little bit slighted by that. But there's some good stuff happening there as well, so I'm not going to whine about it too long.
I'm surprised they nerfed the Bounty Hunters in that don't only sort of 1% of players play the Bounty Hunter. Isn't it one of the least popular classes?
I think you're thinking of the Smuggler.
Yeah, I know it's down there, but isn't the Bounty Hunter down a fair way as well?
I don't think so. I think it's the Imperial Agent definitely is played less than the Bounty Hunter, I'd say.
There you go. See, talking shit again.
Certainly, from what I've seen.
Yeah, I think that sounds better. I think the Bounty Hunter sort of sits in the middle somewhere.
Okay. Mark, what stood out for you?
As Simon said, definitely the group finder. I know there was a bit of controversy over it when it was first sort of announced, but look, when I play World of Warcraft, I use it all the time. I think it's great. You know, it's not just for your average sort of instance or, flashpoint, as it were, in Star Wars, but you can get operations on it as well. And look, I think it's a good thing, especially for people that don't have time to dedicate to a guild or that much time to play. I think it's a great thing. Other thing I was looking at is, I don't know how many people have had this issue, but when you put a dot on a target and you untarget that target, the moment it does damage again, it would retarget it. So it was kind of a pain if you were trying to target other things as well. And I believe one of the issues is that they've fixed that and it's no longer going to retarget whichever it is you've put the dot on. So I suppose that's kind of going to be handy as well.
Yeah, that was the striking impression for me for the whole patch notes. There were just dozens and dozens of little fixes that together will take a lot of annoyances for particular classes or types of gameplay. So they've really gone down to a lot of detail to fix a bunch of things, which obviously would come from bug reports. There's a whole bunch of stuff I was interested in, but even just things like the fleets are now going to have daily quests for heroic world bosses and stuff, just making it easy to pick up a quest, go in and do what you want to do and get out again, that benefits the more casual player, like the LFG tool. And with the LFG tool, I think a lot of the heat out of that debate's gone because they now not making it cross-server. So the majority of the complaining about that was the cross-server, which I didn't even see the problem with that. But it's obviously made a lot more people happy.
Mm.
Yeah, 1 point. And we don't know when. I mean, it's on PTS. There's a 5-hour maintenance this Tuesday instead of 4 hours. That's not long enough, I wouldn't have thought, to put in 1.3. Plus, it's a bit early if it only went on the PTS a week ago. So I'm guessing a week or two, and then we should see that live. And that should be around the time we should have a little bit more information on subscriber numbers. I'm guessing that we might someone might say something. So see if it started to drag people back.
Yeah, this should be interesting to see. But again, I'm not going to write the game off or not. Depending on that figure, I think we don't have enough data to aggregate yet. It needs to be going longer before.
Okay.
So, if there's any more, howls to the wind that the game is doomed, I'll just anyway. Please come and speak to me face to face. I'll punch you in the throat.
Although it does make them look kind of silly when 1 week they've got somebody saying, "No, we're not losing any numbers," and then very next week they're going, "Yeah, we lost some."
Yeah, no more boo-boos like that, BioWare.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, it's too early, and I think until you've hit 12 months, so this December, and you go, look, we had a drop, that's when you really assess, okay, 12 months in, how's it going? And they've got 1.3 and possibly even 1.4 live by then, and it's a very well bedded down game. If they're still dropping numbers, then you go, okay, well, what's wrong? But you're right, until then, I think there's just too much hype and obsessing about it, which is why I shouldn't be talking about it right now.
Yeah. I'm preempting. Yeah. But I think the fact that we're really getting down to introducing, I suppose subtleties. I think we're down to refinements at this point in a lot of ways. You could argue whether the looking for Group Finder is a subtlety or not, but I think it is. Especially once the servers get condensed, optimized.
Yes.
Optimized. Server optimization. Once that kicks in, I think that's going to address a lot of issues that people are currently having as far as just the day-to-day playability.
Yeah, and more likely to get friends to join them and that sort of thing. One thing I need to backflip or change position on is over the last couple of months, I've got really annoyed at the end game, saying there's not enough to do in the end game. And it's like, well, story's what drives it. Spend more time leveling, you idiots. But now that I've hit level 50 with my main character, I got to change my position on that, in that I'm not even involved with operations and stuff, but there's not a really significant endpoint, unless I've totally stuffed up the consular progression. I certainly knew when I defeated the big guy whose name I don't remember.
Well, that's good, because otherwise we'd have to issue a spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's right. And, I hit level 50 and that was all good, but I'm still mopping up quests on Corellia and that. It just feels like, okay, I've hit level 50, what now? And once I finish these ones on Corellia, I'm not sure what I do next. I've obviously got a whole bunch of quests lined up for flashpoints and stuff like that, but there's just not that real obvious transition to cap, even from a story viewpoint. I said, unless I married Nadia Grell, I suppose that might have been the...
Well, that's what makes me hopeful that there's more story to come. The fact that there isn't really a penultimate moment is perhaps indicative of more to come, but a slightly more elegant way of doing it might have been nice.
And this might have some people shaking their heads, but I mean, all the videos prior to launch, with Darth Malgus and all that stuff, when do I see them?
Oh, right.
Oh, I can come tell you soon, that. Trademark.
I can tell you that without too much of a spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, once you're done your sort of main quest, you're going to be moving on to Ilum and doing all the daily stuff there.
Yep. Oh, really? Do we have to?
Yeah, one of the sort of instances, if you like, is the False Emperor, which actually Malgus is one of the bosses you got to fight. So
there you go.
Something for you to look forward to.
So apologies to all those, like Mark, more seasoned players are going, geez, what a noob. Why is he in charge of a podcast? But, I'm
at least level 50.
Sorry?
At least you've reached level 50.
True. And now I'm leveling up my trooper, so and enjoying that. So thinking of you, Ed, as I'm doing that. Sorry.
I didn't actually mean to say Republic Scum out loud, but there we are.
You're allowed to. And then, so that's pretty much, unless I've missed something really obvious, that's all the big news for the last fortnight. The community Q&A, I have to say, was a bit underwhelming. The last one, it was not a lot of particular interest in there, unless, Simon, did you want to contradict that? But I didn't see anything that really was worth mentioning.
No, it was dull.
Yeah.
There really wasn't. There was the questions about finer points and nothing, none of which, I have to admit, really particularly interested me, so sorry.
And, Mark, I wasn't sure you'd seen it. That's the only reason I asked Simon.
No, I haven't seen it yet, no.
I shouldn't have even bothered mentioning it then. And the last thing I had was at E3, Star Wars 1313, single-player game was demoed for high-end PCs. And again, I'll put a link in the notes. It's well worth it. My God, it's a beautiful-looking piece of game, and you can never compare this stuff to MMOs, and it's not fair to expect the graphic quality in MMO that you get on a single-player high-end game, but by God, I wish Star Wars The Old Republic looked like this. I don't think there'd be even anyone talking about subscriber numbers. Mark, over to you first. Have you seen the video, and if so, did you like what you saw?
Yeah, it did, actually. It looked really good. Definitely a game I'll be playing. I think the one thing that did tick me off about it was what the guy in the video that I was watching was going on about how much darker it was than any other Star Wars game. I didn't see it as being any darker than any other particular Star Wars game, but it did look very good. The graphics, the gameplay, it looked very impressive.
Yes, very nice. Simon?
It looks amazing. And the fact that it deals predominantly with bounty hunters, I find quite exciting.
But no one plays bounty hunters.
No.
Yeah, in 10 years or maybe in 5 years' time, the graphic quality of that will be in MMOs, but the trouble is that single players will have moved on another 5 years in quality again.
Well, that's the thing with these sorts of releases. You never know how long it's actually going to be and until the thing's out, because there's games that have been previewed at E3 that we're still waiting on.
Yeah, true.
Because, I know this isn't just like a tech demo. There was actual gameplay involved. But the fact that they've only talked about it going out on the PC and they have not mentioned anything about console releases is interesting, in that maybe they know something we don't about next generation hardware that may be on the horizon or just over the horizon. So could be interesting.
I can see it working beautifully on the Wii U.
Oh yeah, me too.
See, I'm a Nintendo tragic. I love Nintendo, and that Wii U looks amazing. Because you could use the handheld thing as your blaster
steady,
or whatever. It could work well. But, I mean, realistically, though, it'll be on the Xbox or the PS4. Or yeah, what's the Xbox? New Xbox? 720.
No, I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah.
I presume Xbox will be in the name somewhere, but...
Xbox Zune.
Oh dear.
I couldn't resist. That goes out to our Zune lover, Gail. So that's probably it for this week as far as the news and general stuff. So unfortunately, because of Ed being offline for a couple of weeks, we don't have a lore update, and thanks to all the positive feedback we've had on that. Guys, I'll start with you. Mark, anything else you wanted to add before we wrap it up?
Not this week, no.
What have you got on after the Jubilee? Like, anyone, you got U2 coming out to Australia? What's the next gig you're organising?
Freddie Mercury's return. it's got to do, you know, the whole zombie thing that's going on at the moment, and we've decided to dig him up and, you know.
If anyone can pull that off, it'll be Freddie Mercury.
Indeed.
And for those who are unaware, I'm hanging out for the Queen movie that is, I think, in production now. I could be wrong on that. Borat. What's the dude's name?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen as Freddie Mercury, which I think will be amazing.
Well, they're going to use, you know, Queen are going to do the music for it. Who Wants to Live Forever? You know, there's the main tune right there.
No, I'm hanging out for that movie in a big way. Simon.
Yes.
Anything? Yeah, you're worse than Tim last week. And thank you, Tim, for your guess. We got a lot of good feedback on that. And Tim's written a brilliant piece this week. He's doing opinion pieces from the perspective of people representing the Empire and the Republic in-game. And the first one went live this week, and the next one will be about a fortnight, and got huge readership on those. Sorry, that was just a meandering way of saying, Simon, what the hell do you want to talk about before we go?
I just wanted to congratulate 5-inch Floppy, which if you haven't seen it, go to just Google it or go to Game Arena. It's a short video game show hosted by Jeremy Ray, or otherwise known as The Junglist. And they won Best Video Program at the IT Journalism Awards, which I think was just a week or so ago, or a couple of weeks ago. They beat out Good Game, which I thought was, considering the incredibly limited resources that Jeremy and co have got at their fingertips, it's quite impressive, and also I think a sign of things to come that a small can-do show like that can beat out something with national network backing. Because it's usually either Good Game or Hungry Beast, I believe, that tend to do well at these things. So, well done, guys. Keep up the good work.
It is good. It's always good to see competition.
Indeed.
And I'll certainly be nominating you next year, because we'll be up to about episode something, 60-something by then. So surely we can get an award for, I don't know.
Persistence.
existence. Showing up. Doesn't everyone get sort of showing up these days?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the word I'll be getting then for my recent absences.
Yeah, that's right. No, we'll still bring you along for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the last thing before I do the shout-outs is Simon and myself will be at Oz Comic Con at the end of June, and we're joking before we started recording that we should put a call out for all our fans to come along and let's have a get-together at the Oz Comic Con. And then I realised, well, Gail's based in Wollongong, so that probably only leaves one person in Melbourne.
I will be there too.
And we're hoping Mark can get there as well. So that would be three of us, and we'll do a bit of
after this.
Yes, and we'll do a bit of a live recording from Oz Comic Con that we'll incorporate into episode 35, which will go live, unless I'm getting my dates wrong, around that weekend. No, yeah. Anyway, we'll work it out. So if you are going to Oz Comic Con, quite seriously though, do drop us a line at contact@toroz.com.au or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/SWTOROZ, and the same for Twitter is the username, because it'd be great to catch up with you and, you know, have you tell us how much you hate me droning on. And I'll wash down my sorrows by hanging out with Stan Lee and someone decent.
Paddock Stewart.
Because he's there too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just in case it wasn't clear, we do not have a booth.
Don't
go for Toro's booth because it ain't there.
No, definitely not.
If we do, it'll be outside.
Yeah, well, we've just paid for tickets. We're going as fanboys.
PJ O'Brien's down South Bank.
Speaking of science fiction, I watched Prometheus last night, and if you want some fun, go and see it. But by God, there's some big plot holes in that movie. Really good fun to watch, though.
I still haven't seen it. I want to go and see it.
Yeah, it's worth it for the CGI and the effects and the worlds that they've built and stuff, but there's some really frustrating shit in there.
I just wish that when we're going to this Comic-Con that we really should have got around to getting our T-shirts made up, you know, the Solo to the Holo and Fap to the Start.
I've actually put that up on Redbubble.com. I'll see if I can afford it between now and then. I'll order you one.
Probably get thrown out.
Yeah, it could be that too.
Like, oh yeah.
I promise I will wear my Toros T-shirt. That's reminded me. Although it's probably going to be a bit cool for T-shirts, isn't it? Are you guys?
Yeah, well, I don't know what temperature it is now, but I know last night it felt 3 degrees here. Brian.
Well, yeah, it's been a bit chilly here. I've been freezing my Wookiee off today, so.
Yeah, see, you know, I might have to, if I take off my man bra, you might see my nipples through the shirt. Yeah, it could all get a bit awkward. Sorry, I'm back in Holland again.
I need a whiskey. It's going to take a bit to get rid of the mental image. Yeah.
See, we need Ed here to keep us in line.
Yeah,
that's saying something.
Yeah, saying something. All right, thanks everyone. As always, great to talk. And hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back for episode 35 in a fortnight's time. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.